WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans Attack. I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in New Orleans providing the latest update into the New Year's Day terror attack. They say 14 people were killed after a man drove a pickup truck down Bourbon Street. The FBI's Deputy Assistant Director, Christopher Reyes, said,
"This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act."
He says they are surging resources to the area to continue the investigation as questions continue in New Orleans, says ABC's Whit Johnson.
Now, growing questions about security and why bollards and barricades were not properly set up. Officials say after multiple malfunctions, they were in the process of being replaced. Patrol cars were instead meant to block traffic. A tragic failure as the suspect was able to drive on the sidewalk.
Investigation continues into whether there was a connection between this and the explosion at a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Authorities in New Lisbon continue to search for a man they believe was involved in the death of two juveniles and a woman on December 30th. According to the New Lisbon Police Department, a juvenile was reported missing from Monroe County on December 30th around 7:40 in the morning. Police began to search for the missing person when they discovered a second juvenile was also missing from New Lisbon. Around 4:30 p.m., police say they found both juveniles and an adult woman dead inside a home on the 300 block of West Bridge Street in New Lisbon. Authorities are currently looking for a person of interest believed to be involved in the deaths. He is described as 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighing 150 pounds. Anyone with information is encouraged to call 911. Officials say they have activated their crisis response team and are communicating with school districts to provide counseling resources as needed. The two victims of the Abundant Life school shooting, who were in critical condition now, have been upgraded to fair condition. In a statement released by UW Health, their families said they were grateful for the respect of their privacy and thanked American Family Children's Hospital. Four others were shot. They were all released from the hospital the week of the shooting. A reminder that the Abundant Life Christian School Recovery Fund is still active. You can find a link on the United Way of Dane County's website. Why nearly 200 ballots went uncounted on Election Day in Madison will be scrutinized. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has a special meeting scheduled for this morning. The six-member commission will consider an investigation of City of Madison Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell regarding 193 unaccounted absentee ballots for the November 5th general election.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Three Packers named to the Pro Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL says three Packers players selected for the Pro Bowl. Two of them signed with the team this year in free agency. It's safety Xavier McKinney, running back Josh Jacobs. The third is defensive end Rashawn Gary. The Packers' top defensive back, Jair Alexander, had to have surgery on his right knee and is now out for the rest of the season. This will mean more snaps for second-year man Carrington Valentine.
This is next man mentality, honestly. You know, it sucks, but play football. Injuries happen. You know, you got to keep going.
The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Quarterback Caleb Williams was asked what he thought about his former assistant coach at USC, Cliff Kingsbury, as a candidate for the next head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I'd say I've been around Cliff. I know what type of guy he is. I know that he loves football. I know that he wants to win. He's a competitor. I've been around him, so asking him questions and things like that, I think, obviously, if he was here, I'd probably have more to say.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s. But with winds becoming feisty out of the northwest, it's creating wind chills. And feeling sub-zero by tomorrow morning. We do have a bright and beautiful day on tap, but with highs in the teens, it'll be feeling more like the single digits. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 22 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. the scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Williams will be here to ring in the new year, and we'll discuss the biggest issues affecting everyday Americans headed into 2025.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up this hour, weather and wine with civic media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us in about 15 minutes. Let us know how long the chillier temps are going to last, if we have any
forever.
Snow. If we have any snow coming our way for the snowbirds upstate. I know they need it. I would love to see them have a better winter than they did last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will join us at 11:33 with his predictions for 2025 for the Bucks and the Packers and the Brewers. And we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the On a Wing and a Prayer edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. You can also, if you have a suggestion for a topic, if you have something going on in your community or a guest or something you would like us to highlight, please email us. We actually do read them.
We do.
Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Also, just a reminder, if you have a smart speaker at home, and I know a lot of folks do, you can actually have your smart speaker play your favorite civic media station. All you have to do is say, play WAUK. And kabinga.
Kabinga!
It's right there.
Bazinga.
Bazinga? Okay, not kapinga?
No.
All right.
I mean, Bazinga is already taken by the Big Bang Theory.
Ah.
So kapinga is now yours.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Tell your smart speaker, say, play WAUK. And it'll happen for you just like
and
that.
And kapinga.
And kapinga. Right there. It'll be right there. Resolutions.
Yeah.
Yesterday, New Year's Day 2025. Do you still make a New Year's resolution? I would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Did you make a resolution this year? If you want to share what it is, have you stopped? Did you make a resolution last year that you stuck to? Did you make a resolution last year that you failed within the first 2 days?
And that right there, that's part of my opinion on resolutions. We'd love to hear from you. We want to know.
I think a lot of folks still do. And we all have goals and we all have habits I think we would like to change. But whether or not that's the day, this is the day I decide from this day forward, I will not do X.
Yeah.
I stopped making resolutions a long time ago.
Why is that?
Because it made me feel worse.
There it is. Exactly.
I've been shocker to everybody. Yes, I smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
It's a bad habit. Okay. Don't smoke. It's the one thing my mother told me I really wish I had listened to her about. But I felt so badly after I would crumble within the first 2 days. It's like, well, now I'm a failure.
And that's exactly my problem with resolutions and all sorts of throwing the flag in the sand and making the declaration, I am going to do whatever this thing is. And if you don't do it or you can't maintain it, then all of a sudden you're a failure. You're a bad person. I decided a long time ago I would no longer say that I'm quitting smoking, because I think when you declare it to the world and you declare it to yourself, you start counting the days and you count the months and you count the years, and people put that on their social media. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. And there's nothing wrong with the accolades that come with a goal met.
Successfully doing your resolution, right?
Exactly. But for me, what I realize is that there are going to be times when I smoke and there are going to be times when I don't smoke. And I'm not going to kick myself when I start again. And I'm not going to over-congratulate myself when I stop. When I stop, I stop. I may never smoke another one again for the rest of my life. But this beating of oneself up over these things is just, it's harmful. Because it'll make you dive into, you're like, well, I'm a failure, so I might as well smoke more without apology. Or
And that's my point, too.
Yeah.
It's like, if you fail,
mm-hmm.
then the temptation to go back to this bad habit is just that much greater.
Absolutely.
I'm a loser. I'm a failure. I may as well just keep doing it.
And I think as far as, like, you know, whether you're quitting smoking or quitting drinking, which are both, of course, addictions. And I think unless you can really kick the habit either cold turkey or with minimal help as far as patches or gums or things like that.
Straight jacket,
exactly. You need to talk to a professional. You need to talk to an expert and figure out what your plan is, because this is an addictive chemical you are putting in your body. Alcohol is something that people are addicted to. If you want to quit, you have to have a plan and you have to involve people. Also understand you're going to stumble. Or you may stumble, and if you do, that's a challenge. That's all it is. You'll get over it. If you want to keep to it, you got to give yourself grace and leeway.
But again, if you say it out loud and you tell all your friends, I'm going to quit smoking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to smoke. I'm never smoking.
Good job.
Thank you. And then next weekend we go out and I light up.
Yeah.
And then I just feel like there's all that residual judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you declared it to the world, and now the world is in on your failure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of different aspects to that as far as, like, you know, how do your friends judge you? Are they judging you? Are they mad at you? Do they care? Are they sad for you? How are you feeling about it? Like, it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
It is a lot of pressure.
So, like, if you want to quit smoking or quit drinking or want to lose that weight, as everyone can, I mean, millions of dollars a year are made in gyms on today and the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
People who are saying, that's it. I'm going to tighten it up. I'm going to get on the horse. We're going to do some push-ups. Are you willing to also accept that maybe you won't go to the gym today, or you might lose a bunch of weight and then gain some of it back? Because guess what? Your body is far more technical than you think. It's far more intelligent than you think. And unless you decide today, I'm going to lose weight and I'm never going to gain weight again, you have to become a different person with a different lifestyle, with a committed everyday program. Because the moment you stop working out, your body's like, hey, remember what we used to be?
Yeah.
We like that.
We're going back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole weight loss industry could talk for decades about. There's nothing wrong with losing weight. There's nothing wrong with getting healthy. But you should talk to your doctor about setting reasonable goals.
Reasonable goals.
And saying to yourself, all right, would I like to lose 100 pounds? Yes. What should I lose this year? How about I lose 35 to 40 pounds this year?
That's still a lot.
That's still a lot. And it's a work, but it's not unhealthy. These people who are like, I lost 175 pounds in 6 months. That's bad. That's wrong. And but in the world of resolutions, we prop them up as the goals.
Yeah.
And when they gain weight, because they almost always do, where are they then? They're in a place. They're lost.
I think it's easier to not advertise your resolutions. I do.
I don't disagree with you at all.
I think it's easier just to keep it to yourself, and you know what your goals are. Yeah. And if you don't And I know there's two sides on this. It's like, well, tell people, because then they'll help hold you accountable.
Yeah.
But I'm more of the, if I tell people and I fail, then I feel even worse because now all of these people know that I failed.
And that's not a good place because then you anticipate a failure anyways. You've already put it in your head that you may fail and then you can give in. I'm not saying that you, and I want, what I'm telling people is to get rid of the word fail, failed, collapsed, gave in. You just had a moment.
A blip.
Yeah.
It was a blip.
If you listen, my thought is if you are a pack a day smoker and you can go a day without smoking, that's amazing. And you smoke tomorrow, okay. But you know you can go a day without smoking.
A full day, that's a really good point.
And that's important. So then try to say like, all right, next week I want to go Tuesday without smoking. Or Wednesday I'll smoke four less. Or next week I'm going to work out twice. Or I'm going to buy less junk food. Like
little adjustments.
You
right?
can make resolutions. Nothing wrong with that. But be realistic and set a year-long goal for yourself. Like for me, I do want to get healthy. I do want to lose some weight. It's a big deal for me. But I don't want to lose 150 pounds by summer. What do I want to lose? I don't even know yet. But I do know that I'd like to be down a t-shirt size or two by maybe, say, fall, which isn't impossible.
No, that's reasonable.
That's reasonable.
It's about setting reasonable expectations.
Exactly.
Llama from Madison texting and listening on WMDX. I think a line in the sand doesn't work. Set a goal for the year.
Yes.
It's just more practical. John from Madison, maybe make the resolution to smoke one pack less per month, which is more attainable.
Exactly.
855-752-4842 if you want to join the conversation. Jake from Milwaukee, I decided to work out at least 3 minutes a day. A low bar, but I will conquer. But hey, Jake, that's better than not doing 3 minutes a day.
Exactly.
It's a start.
Absolutely a start because guess what? Next week can be 4 minutes. And then 5 minutes before you know it, you're doing a half an hour of push-ups or whatever, and it's great. And it's very small increments of time. And as what you were talking about before, as far as involving friends, if you're going to involve friends in these types of journeys, make sure you're involving one or two people who are on the same journey as you or who have been through it before.
Who can commiserate with you.
Commiserate, hold you accountable, but yet can feel empathy for when you might be faltering. Don't make this your year to get all the likes on social media for losing weight, quitting smoking, or doing that thing because you don't start posting the pictures when you start gaining weight, do you? And then because you don't get those likes, you want that attention. And I understand that.
Richard from Waukesha is on the line. We only got about 90 seconds left. Richard, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, about smoking, I quit many, many years ago. And I found out later on from experts, and it's true. It takes about five times. It's like a football game with four quarters, but you got overtime.
Yeah.
And so it's not about just quitting once and being done. You know, you have to keep attacking it.
Yep. Keep giving it a shot. Thank you so much, Richard. That's a great point. All I need is a rubber room in about 3 months and a straight jacket. And maybe if I was unconscious. But anyway.
Boy.
Wait, just a couple things. I'm just throwing it out there. It's a thought.
Maybe we can set goals for Jane.
Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you gotta buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calvi on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 1130 news. J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports. We will look at 2025 and his predictions for how the Brewers and the Bucks and the Packers are going to do right now, though. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, is here for a little weather and wine. Good morning, lady. How are you? Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year. I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Did you, is there much snow left around Wausau right now?
Oh, gosh, no, not really. We've had a few flurries flying since about yesterday, so we've got a trace out there, but nothing that you can do anything with. I mean, you don't even need to shovel it or anything. But up north, I was traveling along Highway 2 from Superior area all the way to Ironwood, Michigan, and they were getting hit with some lake effect.
Oh, really?
So they got a little bit of snow. But I'll tell you, that major warm-up hit them as well. So I didn't see those snowmobile trails open. I didn't see people out there enjoying it. But it is out there, a good couple of inches at least, and it's continuing throughout the entire weekend, too, with this cold air blasting in.
And are they going to be getting much? So let's talk about the snow situation. What are we looking at over? And do your forecasts, Brittany, go out about 10 days? Is that how long the models go out?
Well, you know, I really like to stick with just 4 to 5 days out, to be honest with you. Our models go well out there, but those change and they're so wishy-washy that I don't really like to go by them. But yeah, I can see that far in the future.
So you can't give us a 75-day forecast?
What's it going to be like in July, Brittany? Yeah.
Oh, hot. Very hot and stormy.
So what are you seeing over the next 4 or 5 days?
You know, we are looking at this cold blast definitely pushing in. So highs by tomorrow will only be in the teens for a majority of the state and single digits through the overnight hours. With the winds increasing, it's going to be feeling like near 20 below once again. So that'll be as soon as tomorrow morning. It'll be all day throughout tomorrow and continue Saturday and Sunday before we get a little boost in temperatures. But we're missing a major snowstorm to the south on Sunday. It is hitting Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska area, sliding through southern Illinois, and it's putting down 1 to 2 feet of snowfall. So we're dodging a bullet.
Oh,
whoa.
And I'm sure that makes you very sad, Brittany.
I'm so sad. But a lot of people are cheering and so happy right now, but not me.
Tom on the live stream says, Brittany sounds so sad whenever there's no snow or no cold.
It's true. And it's hard to hide.
This is who you are, Brittany. Embrace it. It's all good.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, and the thing with the snow to our south, though, is that a lot of those regions are not, they're not set up for 1 to 2 feet of, we're barely set up for that much snow.
No, I'm assuming we're probably going to go down there and help them because I don't know if they have that many plows for all of that that's going to happen that far south. So a big storm. Yeah.
they get a quarter of an inch, half an inch, and they shut down everything. I mean,
definitely.
I have friends who lived in Atlanta, and they were part of that. When people just got out of their cars on the freeway, they're like, I'll come back tomorrow.
I'll just leave it here. It'll be fine.
Yeah. No one's going anywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's, I like this. I don't like the cold weather. I don't like cold. Like, hey, guess what? It's below 60 wind chill. Like, that's not right.
But wasn't it only 3 or 4 years ago that we had the polar vortex phenomenon, which I have never heard of before?
Sounds like y'all made that up, Brittany.
We did.
It sounds like a really bad.
And then we can't use it anymore.
Yeah. Sounds like a really bad band. I don't want to listen to
it. But I mean, we had like 3 days of, what was it, 15 below?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cold Siberian air moving on in. That's why we called it the polar vortex.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
And nowadays, kids don't get school canceled for snow as much as they do for temperature now. It's more for temperature. But I just like the thing for me is I know where I live. As I've said before, and I always say it, every year I live in Wisconsin, every winter, I'm always pressing accept on the terms and conditions. I know what I'm getting into. But then you just think of that first snowfall. You're like, I don't want to go outside. Is there a youngster who needs to make college money?
For real.
Who wants to shovel for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Before you joined us, Brittany, we were talking about New Year's resolutions and whether or not people still do that. Because on the one hand, if you make a declaration, I'm going to do X, and then you don't, and then all your Facebook friends know that you failed. Are you a...
Your friends are really mean then.
They're just straightforward like I am. are you a believer in making resolutions for New Year's, Brittany?
I'm a believer in making resolutions all the time. But if you're going to do it just once, fine, do it on New Year's because the new year, new you, you should always try to better yourself. There's something you can change.
I love...
Maybe it's small.
See, yes. I love that. Do something to better you. I feel like there's like 3 resolutions out there. Smoking, working out, and
weight loss.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of just waking up on the first of the year saying, I'm going to change this little thing. I'm going to do this one little thing. Like the texter said, I'm going to work out 3 minutes a day. And I'm sure people will be like, that's nothing. It's something.
It's a start.
It is.
Yep.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, I started doing that 10 crunches a day. That sounds little, but once I start doing it, I keep going and going, and now it's a habit. Now I do it every single day.
Do you just do the 10, or you do? Does it?
No, quit? More.
Okay.
I can definitely knock out three. The 10 is little enough to get me to do it, and then I'll keep going.
Good for you.
That's great. See, that's wonderful.
But I think, too, resolutions don't all have to be about deprivation. What about making a resolution to read one book a month if you're not a reader or one audiobook a month?
Well, if you're not a reader, say, I want to read 2 books this year, because that could be even a daunting task in and of itself. So make a realistic goal, small changes. I love that, Brittany. Small changes to the things you don't like, and hold yourself accountable. Surround yourself by love in those changes. And if your friends on Facebook have a problem, get new friends.
I resolved to get entirely new friends in 2025.
I ordered new friends on Amazon and they have not arrived.
People who would make me feel better about myself. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday-ish at this time for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stay close. News is coming up next, and then all things sports with J.R. Radcliffe. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, yes, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. Hands in my pocket. I'm out in the cold. Body and soul. With nowhere to go. I'm out in the cold.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Democrats have repeated a talking point that 83% of Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts benefited the top 1%, but that's not quite right. Here's Wisconsin Watch's Tricia Young with a fact check.
Higher-income Americans saw significant savings from the 2017 tax law signed by President Donald Trump, but the top 1% have not received 83% of the benefits, as U.S. Representative Mark Pocan recently claimed. The Tax Policy Center projected the top 1% will receive 25% of the tax cut in 2025 and 83% by 2027, but that's after most individual cuts expire. Corporate tax cuts benefiting wealthier individuals would remain. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says a tax cut will be on the Republican agenda in the next legislative session. Incoming 87th Assembly District Representative Brent Jacobson says he's on board with the reduction in the state income tax as part of the new two-year budget, including cuts on retirement benefits and middle-class earners.
If you're married, filing jointly is like income between $33,000 and like $400,000. A lot of people fall in that range. And if you can give them a tax break, again, it's more money going back into the economy or saving for retirement.
Jacobson says tax breaks are appropriate at a time when prices have surged. He feels voters sent a message to the state Democratic Party in the last election, and Governor Tony Evers should listen. Last summer, Evers signed a budget that cuts income taxes by $175 million over the next 2 years, a fraction of what Republican lawmakers had proposed.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s. But with winds becoming feisty out of the northwest, it's creating wind chills. And feeling sub-zero by tomorrow morning. We do have a bright and beautiful day on tap, but with highs in the teens, it'll be feeling more like the single digits. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Weems will be here to ring in the new year, and we'll discuss the biggest issues affecting everyday Americans headed into 2025.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Good, good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, hockey action coming up later on today. Wisconsin at Michigan State, 5 p.m. broadcast start. You can listen to that on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Hockey tonight, Wisconsin at Michigan State, 5 o'clock start. Listening on WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM in Wisconsin Rapids. He joins us every Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. The Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, is here. Good morning, J.R. Happy New Year.
Yes, good morning to you guys. Happy New Year to you as well.
Did you have a wild and crazy New Year's Eve at the Radcliffe household?
Absolutely not. It was a little peppier than usual, I suppose. We were out with friends. My wife crafted several minute to win it games style, you know, that style. We only played a few of them, but there was one where you threw candy canes across a short stretch and you had to try to hook it onto some garland that was stretched out. And many, many people tried and failed. Everybody got 10 opportunities, but then this guy stepped to the plate. And on my third toss, I hooked the candy cane on the garland. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. So I absolutely talked about it the remainder of the night.
Jer, how many kids do you have? How many kids do you have?
I have two.
So definitely top three moment.
100%. I don't know why we can't go higher than top three.
Your kids have to have some reason to go to therapy, JR. Why not?
Absolutely. That is 100% true. 100% true. We have an appointment later today. It's great. Everything's working out great.
I was saying, look, see if the toddler can hook a candy cane on some tinsel. You can't.
Can't do it. Yeah. Can't do it. But this guy can.
Yeah.
That's right.
Congratulations on that momentous achievement, yeah. JR. We all got to shoot for something. We're going to look at predictions and the year ahead for our sports teams, the Bucks and the Brewers and the Green Bay Packers. Where do you want to start with? Who do you want to start with?
Well, I think we should start with what I consider bad news first, and I don't want to disappoint Greg Bach. But if I'm looking ahead, I would be a little worried about where the Milwaukee Brewers are right now.
And yeah, of course I am.
Oh, yes, I know. That's a permanent state of being. I would predict that this is not a playoff year. Now, in full disclosure, I predicted that last year. I thought they were going to be a 500 team, not a 93-win team and one of the best teams in the National League. So perhaps what do I know? But something happened really late before the new year where they announced at like 3 p.m. on New Year's Eve, which that's how you know they really want that news out there.
No
they really
kidding.
Want people to know. They announced they were going back to an agreement with Bally. What used to be Bally Sports Wisconsin is now the FanDuel Sports Network, where they're going to be airing their games just as they have in previous years. Now, they announced in October that MLB was going to be broadcasting those games or handling production of them, distributing them. It would be a similar setup for fans. It would just be a different channel. This is something that MLB is trying to do across baseball because they want the streaming rights so they can get rid of blackouts and kind of offer all the games in one package. Like with NFL or NBA, there are packages you can buy and see every game. MLB cannot do that because of all these regional local contracts. So MLB wants to move away from it. The Brewers moved in MLB's preferred direction by saying, we're gonna let MLB produce the games. They'd be available a little more than they were before, possibly an increase in audience. Going back tells me that they really need that money because this is not what MLB wants them to do. And yet they tried like wading into those waters saying we're going to do that. And 2 months later, they were like, actually, let's go back. We really need that TV contract. It is a big amount of money. That's how a lot of baseball teams make money is through local broadcasting revenue. It's where a lot of the disparity comes in, where the haves versus the have nots, like the Brewers are a small market. They're at the bottom of sort of this TV revenue situation. And I don't want to get too in the weeds about it, but it just tells me that this Brewers team feels like it needs that money. It can't afford to keep going in MLB's preferred direction. And that tells me they're just not going to have the money to sign players, big time players. And we kind of already knew that, but I'm feeling like they're not going to be able to truly improve this team. They have gone down in payroll the last 2 years and gotten better, more wins each year. That's a really great achievement. I don't want to disparage that. That's incredible. You could also say it's completely unsustainable that at some point you got to go back to buying free agents or like at least entertaining the idea of bringing them in. It's pretty clear to me that that's not going to happen. So right now they're working on a player loss, losing Willy Adames and not really not really bringing new talent in, whether it's at shortstop or other positions. And I don't know, Greg Bach, I'm worried that this team is going to, in fact, go backward. The Cubs have added players. I feel like maybe the way the Brewers valued kind of the gritty underdog players is a really cool story, and it worked out in 2024. Again, I don't know if that's sustainable, and I'd be a little worried about them going forward.
No, and I don't disagree with you. I think that everything the Brewers – I think that Brewers have stepped into golden-shaped poos for many, many years now, where we get lucky. We get good players, and we get good teams, and Pat Murphy is an amazing skipper, Matt Arnold, executive of the year. Those are nothing to shake a stick at. To me, what that says to me, if I'm as a layman, I'm not a sports writer, I'm not an executive, but when you have a coach of the year, executive of the year, team winning 93 games, that's when you start to say, all right, let's make a plan starting in 2025 to 2030 of investment. We were talking about it earlier in the show last hour about educational investment. To make these, and to not cut the purse strings on the payroll, to increase the payroll, not a lot, just a little. I mean, we were for a while sticking right in the middle, and now we're down below that. And with the loss of Willy Adames, and I know we lost Devin Williams as well.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
We lost Devin Williams. We need to make some big moves. And the question I have, though, with regards to the TV marketing thing is, they say it's local. What local station am I watching baseball on in 2025? I'm never watching a game on Channel 4. I'm watching it on some network, Bally's streaming app. So why doesn't the MLB then cough up the money and say, all right, we want to be competitive with these other groups. You can make money. And now our fans can enjoy more games. Because that's the thing, too, is I won't invest money in these apps if there are blackout dates.
Yeah, and MLB is certainly trying to augment some of the losses from a third party, from a TV revenue, you know, where that money is coming from. They try. They're just not able to hit what the teams that they are currently broadcasting, the Padres, Rockies, Diamondbacks, Reds, I think this year, a couple others, Twins. But they're not going to be able to hit what they were able to get with those TV deals. So can those teams weather the storm until everybody is on an equal playing field that way, which could take several years? I'm sure some teams have a better outlook on that than others. So that's kind of where MLB's at. And in terms of investment, I think the Brewers will argue their investment comes from some other things, not just free agents, but their Latin Academy, which has produced Jackson Churio, who I think will get MVP votes this year. That would be another prediction on the positive side. Or Jesus Mate, who I think will become the number one prospect in baseball at some point in the next year or year and a half. That's where they say the investment is. But they still just don't seem to have the wherewithal, whether that's like really financial or not, to go out and sign somebody like an Alex Bregman, who is an available third baseman right now, who could completely solve some of their problems. The Brewers aren't even like, they're not even swimming in that pool. They're not even thinking about that stuff. That's where they can fall short.
Well, and that's the big problem, too, is that, you know, this happened with Mike Moustakas and this happened with Willy Adames. We have these great players who explode onto the scene on our team, and then it's almost a foregone conclusion that we're not going to pony the money up to keep them. Moustakas signed for like $48 million to the Reds, and Adames went for how much? Like, it was – how much did he get – how much did he
I don't know offhand. Is it $180 million? I forget what his total amount is, but it's definitely clear of $20 million a year.
It's a lot of money, and it's a laughable scenario that the Brewers would do anything with. I mean, we get Ryan Braun a lot of money. We're going to give Christian Yelich a lot of money. And in 5 years, it'll probably be Jackson Churio who will have to cough up a lot of money to keep him here.
Well, yeah. Adames signed a 7-year, $182 million contract with the Giants.
Fortunately, Churio will be here for 8 years per the contract that they signed him to before this season. So they at least have a little bit of runway with that. But
And I think that's what I'm talking about with the investment. It's like we have to be able to say to ourselves, all right, we got this great player on our team. We know their value has gone up in our club. Let's invest in them and keep them here instead of just saying goodbye. Enjoy the
thanks
big market.
Thanks for the season. Yeah, yep. Thanks for the season.
Enjoy your ring in 2 to 3 years.
Yep. And with Corbin Burns, too, who was traded to Baltimore, but now he signed a big deal with Arizona. Again, in excess of $20 million a year. The Brewers can't play in that. They can't do that.
J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. He joins us every other Thursday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. And we're talking about 2025 predictions. Where do you want to go next, J.R.?
All right. Well, the Packers, I think they're in real trouble because they have to face the Eagles in the first round. I think the Eagles are a terrible matchup for them. And I think, unfortunately, the Packers are going to take a perceived step backward if they indeed have to play the Eagles, which is how things would stand if the season ended today. If they win next week and the Commanders lose, it's a different story and a different team. But that's a bad matchup. I still think the Packers will be really solid the following year if they don't make a deep playoff run this year. I think they're going to play a game in Ireland. There's a lot of chatter that the Steelers are going to be playing overseas. The Packers have the Steelers on their schedule. They are visiting Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. So I think it's still called Heinz Field, but I have no idea. I think that game's going to go to Ireland. I have a really good feeling that the Packers are going to wind up playing overseas again, for better or worse, if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers also are going to make a splash in free agency, unlike the Brewers, because there's a lot of pass rushers available in this free agent class. The Packers finally have some wiggle room to make a pretty big splash free agent signing, and the draft class at that position is pretty bad, and the Packers need edge rushers. So I have a feeling they're going to get, for the second year in a row, a really big free agent addition. Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs were free agent additions this last year. They were amazing. I think they're going to double down on that strategy and get a really nice pass rusher. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Packers, you know, next year. And I mean, I thought they would get creamed by the Cowboys last year. And what did I know? That was an absolute dominant. So, again, maybe I'm the worst person to ask about this. I think the Bucks actually could go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think they can beat Boston ultimately, but we just haven't seen them all healthy. When they're healthy, they are just so good. And most people really are dubious on what Doc Rivers can do. I just think Doc Rivers actually is the right guy for this job and smart enough and skilled enough to get this team all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can never predict health. Will Middleton, Damian Lillard, and Giannis all be healthy at the same time? No idea.
Right.
But if they are, I really believe in this team. I really believe they're an Eastern Conference Finals team. Load up the Deer District, get people excited again. Maybe they, you know, I think they match up actually pretty well with the Celtics. Maybe they go in there and actually get to the NBA Finals. I'm pretty bullish on where they are, even though right now they're a middle of the pack team record-wise, like the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. I still feel really good about where they are.
There's just something that I really like about Doc Rivers.
He's like, what happened tonight? We lost.
I know. He doesn't try to dance around it. He's pretty direct. He's pretty straightforward. And I guess I just respect that instead of hearing all these fancy excuses about what happened. It's like, yeah, we blew it. You know, okay. Yeah. I can respect that.
He's got that great gravelly voice.
Yes.
He's an authority, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. I think he's the right guy for the job. And obviously he's got a little Milwaukee connection, but I just think a lot of him. I mean, we could move to some random ones. I don't have a lot left, but let's just pull out one random one here. Aaron Rodgers, there's talk that this will be his last game Sunday. I know you love talking, Jane, about.
Oh, we did. We had so much fun after that 40-0 crush. It was great.
Yeah. Let's imagine his next year. I predict that Aaron Rodgers will go on a speaking tour with Pat McAfee, but unfortunately his date in Milwaukee will be canceled because he develops an allergic reaction to some plant during a walkabout in Peru. And also ticket sales will be terrible. So that will also unrelatedly be an issue. But that's what I foresee for 2025 with Aaron Rodgers.
Solid prediction, Jer.
I foresee putting together a fund to buy the first three rows of that speaking engagement and have no one show up.
J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. Thank you so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple.
Sounds good. See you then.
Stay with us. Coming up to wrap up the show, This Shouldn't Be a Thing on a Wing and a Prayer edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is our one-year anniversary.
That's right.
Of Matt Nair on Air.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I can't believe it's already been a year.
Full year. Can you believe it, Calvin? This time last year, you were...
not even here.
26?
Calvin, were you didn't start off... Didn't you start off producing?
I've been here from the beginning.
I remembered that, Calvin. Calvin, I'll never forget that as long as I live.
It's seared in my memory, Calvin.
No, apparently it isn't. Apparently this is like pressed in lightly.
Right there. So the three of us have been together from the very beginning for Matt Nair on Air. It's been a great year.
It's been an amazing year.
It really has been an amazing year.
I know time travels in a relative speed, but it feels like it just...
In the blink of an eye. So tomorrow, to celebrate our one-year anniversary of Matt Nair on Air, one of our first guests and co-host, additional co-host, Dom Salvia.
That's right.
Is going to be joining us at 10:33, and we will kick many, many things around.
Yes.
Depending upon what breaks overnight. But right now, it is 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Today's Tisbet headline reads from Fox News. Woman climbs onto wing of Alaska Airlines plane at Seattle Airport due to anxiety. Woman opened emergency exit after the plane landed.
Yes.
Which is good.
Well, I would say it's the most responsible thing to do.
But it's amazing. Okay, so we'll get into the story first. A female passenger took an alternate roof off an Alaska Airlines plane after landing in Seattle two Sundays ago. Just after 5 p.m. on the 22nd, emergency dispatch at the Port of Seattle was alerted to an incident at a gate. After the flight came in during the deplaning, A female passenger became anxious and opened the emergency exit over the wing and then climbed out onto the wing of the plane. Port of Seattle Fire responded and helped the woman off the aircraft wing to the ramp. The crisis team responded, eventually decided to send the passenger to the hospital for evaluation. There were no other injuries and no other operations impacted by that. But still, that really shouldn't be a thing.
No, and my heart goes out to her for that
anxiety.
I mean, I have anxiety, but I would never have the kind of anxiety that would want me to bypass all safety, all people, all everything, and try to open the door of a plane.
And I guess my question is, and I give her credit for being able to control her anxiety until they landed. And I certainly appreciate, depending on where you are in the plane as you're deplaning, it feels like it takes forever.
It kind of does. It's a
slow process as people get all their stuff, and then, you know, it's a slow process. And I think that's when everybody's getting antsy. It's like, I've been flying now for 4 hours and I really just want to get off of here.
And there's never a passenger like agreed upon plan of how we want to get up and move. People get up in the back of the plane and start moving their way up. It's like there's no sense of line, a zipper way of getting off the seats.
Right.
I understand the anxiety of that portion too, because once you even hit the ground, or I should say land, sorry, wrong phrasing. Once you land, it's like another 20 minutes before.
Easily.
And if you have to get baggage.
Oh, yeah. Easily another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like they tell you, don't unbuckle your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Don't get your stuff in the overhead bins until the plane has stopped and the lights have gone off.
Yes. Yep.
And there are always at least 10 people who, as soon as we're anywhere near the gate, are standing up and getting their stuff. And my question again is, where do you think you're going to go?
Oh, yeah. It's like the people speed to a red light.
Yes. You're not getting ahead of us. We're all stuck here. You may as well just be, let's all just be stuck together.
If I'm on a plane and I'm sitting in the front, I'll even let a few people go in front of me just to like to sit and relax. If I'm in the back of the plane, which I actually a lot of times will sit in the back of the plane.
My husband did it for years.
I just let them all go. And I just let them. And then once they're done, then I just get them smooth out. There I go. While they're clean, while the
cleaning crew.
The cleaning crew is cleaning up. I'm just walking out, thanking them. Have a good day.
It's all good.
This scrum of like smashing, and then the anxiety of pulling the baggage down if you can't do it or you can't reach it. No, thank you. We should, as a group on a plane, make a plan and say, first of all, no one claps.
I haven't been on a plane with clapping for a long time.
Good. And also, let's make it front to back, zipper formation, slow, easy. You'll get there.
You will get there.
Or this kind of stuff will make a person do things like this.
Let's not do that. No. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by our friend and colleague Todd Alba. We will be back with you tomorrow morning for the 1-year anniversary of Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Weems will be here to ring in the new year, and we'll discuss the biggest issues affecting everyday Americans headed into 2025.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans attack. I'm Dave Packer. An update minutes ago about the investigation into the deadly ramming attack on New Orleans Bourbon Street on New Year's Day. Assistant Deputy Director Christopher Rea of the FBI says they believe that U.S.-born Shamsed Din Jabbar of Texas acted alone and that Jabbar himself planted the two explosive devices found in the French Quarter.
We did obtain surveillance footage showing Jabbar placing the devices where they were found.
Jabbar declaring his support for ISIS in one of five videos posted online.
Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers.
The attack leaving 14 dead in addition to the killer. Investigators say they have found no definite link between the attack in New Orleans and the deadly Cybertruck explosion outside a Trump Hotel in Las Vegas the same day. This is ABC News.
You can always